The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Not exactly a Black Monday edition, Dom, but the market's spiraling downward. Not a good day for rich people or anyone else that has like a 401k.
Yes, there's a global decline going on right now. Crudy, good to see you, Rich, on the board. Our fair audience, you can join us 844-967-2789. My question, Crudy, is how's your Trump stock doing right now?
As you well know, Dom, I work in the radio industry, and therefore I don't have any money to invest in any stocks of any sort, including BJT.
According to Yahoo Finance, Trump Media and Technology Group down 7.63% today to below $27 a share.
When's he get to the point where he can cash out his windfall air
like quotes? A 6-month window or something like that, so it's gotta be getting close.
Do you think he'll be able to cash some amount out before the stock completely collapses?
Oh yeah, no, then everyone else who still has it will all fall apart because he'll take what's left and then it'll just crush. You know, sticking it to his supporters like Donald Trump does, because if you're gonna keep giving me money, I'm gonna keep taking it.
You know, this bad day in the markets, Dom, already being described by the chairman, or at least the spokesperson of the national GOP, is a Kamala crash. It's all Kamala's fault.
Yeah, of course it is.
Here is how the Washington Post is reporting it. Global markets slid Monday as fears of a slowing U.S. economy sparked investor angst, resulting in some of the most intense volatility Wall Street has seen in years. Now, for whatever reason, Dom, perhaps because I had taken a Sunday afternoon nap, had a little trouble sleeping last night, a little insomnia set in. So late in the evening, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, got up, grabbed my phone, walked around the house a little bit, and noticed the Nikkei was crashing. Yep. The markets were crashing at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking to myself, rich people are losing their stock value and others. But as soon as the markets open, this is going to be a bad day. So investors were rattled by a trickle of disappointing economic data, including last week's jobs report, which saw the U.S. unemployment rate rise to 4.3%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 1,034 points, or about 2.6%. The broader S&P erased 3%, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ lost 3.4% as wariness around AI led investors to turn away from big names such as NVIDIA and Microsoft. And then Dow.
I mean, that's a nice way to put it, or to what? Sell off and harvest your profits and rebalance your portfolio. I mean, if this is the time to do it, that's the time to do it. And I did see another headline before we get further into this that some of that, like TD America, TD or Schwab, or some of the smaller joints were locking up. People couldn't log on and sell today if they wanted to. So, yeah, there are some problems today.
And then, you know, as we see this tech sell-off and a broader market sell-off, but the tech stocks, they were getting battered, right? And then I see this breaking news after the markets closed. Google is an illegal monopoly, a federal court rules. So I got to think at least Alphabet stock's going to get battered again tomorrow, Dom. But here, as that is being
Well, Alphabet was down 4.61% today, but I will remind you that's way less than Trump Media Technology Group down 7.63% today.
Well, Trump Media Technology was not ruled an illegal monopoly today in after hours either, Dom. So a little bit of this, just so you, if you're watching your stock portfolio, you know, you are well informed by us. And we've got our friend, Matt Flynn, who's joining us just a little bit later. I'm curious what his take is. Sort of a wiser elder statesman. I bet he's been watching the markets for a couple of years.
Yeah, since like the Great Depression.
Matt Flynn joins us at 4:30, although with talk like that, maybe not. And you can always join us, 844-967-2789. But here's how the Post is reporting the news at Google. Google is an illegal monopoly, the federal court rules. And you might know this guy's name, Dom. I think he's been involved in a couple of the rulings against Trump. A federal court has found that Google illegally abused its market power to quash competition in internet search, handing the Justice Department a landmark victory against big tech. Google is a monopolist, and it acted as one to maintain its monopoly, according to Judge Amit Mehta. In his judgment today, Mehta wrote that Google, a unit of Alphabet Incorporated, has violated Section 2 of the Sherman Antitrust Act by maintaining its monopoly in two product markets in the United States, General Search Service and General Text Advertising, through exclusive distribution agreements with customer companies. And the case has been closely watched in antitrust law circles as the first of a string of cases federal prosecutors have launched against high-tech giants. Antitrust enforcers argue big tech has gotten too powerful, Dom, and doesn't serve the public interest. Lawsuits have also been filed against Amazon, Meta, and Apple. Well, that's not going to help your portfolio any either, is it, Dom? And the Justice Department asserted that Google violated federal antitrust law by forging contracts that require Google to be installed as the default search engine on Android smartphones, among other practices that prevented its rivals from competing on an even playing field. Well, I'm not an Android guy.
Apple has Safari as your default. You know, I mean, we'll see. After hours of Google Crudy, they're up about 1% after hours trading.
So it's not battering their stock price, but they were already battered a little today.
Yeah, they were already, yeah, they were down a little bit. Yep, down less than 5%.
So should we panic? Is it time to panic, Dom? I mean, it's Monday. Should I panic or should I wait till later in the week?
No, I don't think it's time to panic. Certainly. And this is ultimately, listen, as far as the Fed is concerned, they left rates unchanged, right? I mean, this is what they want to do. This is an effort from the Fed over the course of years to try to slow the economy down. And all of a sudden people are surprised when things slow down. And this is not just, you know, certainly as mentioned, Curdy, here in the United States, this is a worldwide impact right now. So as people are going to try to call this, you know, what the Kamala countdown, the Kamala recession or whatever it's going to be, how does that explain South Korea's index dropping by just under 9% or Taiwan by 8.35%? You know, give me a break, people. There's a lot more going on here than, you know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
It's the Kamala crash, according to the national GOP. That was
okay. And if and when the markets will rebound eventually, because, you know, the cyclical, if
that's because they think Trump will get elected,
there will be
next
buying opportunities. I'm going to say, well, this is a Kamala comeuppance because of her great policies. No, of course, they'll just keep quiet when the economic news or the stock market is good. And as soon as something goes bad, well, now look what happened. It's all because of that administration. So that's just the game they play. Hopefully folks are a little more in tune to what the realities are.
Technically, Dom, here was the headline from Jake Schneider. The Great Kamala Crash of 2024. As they claim here, Dom, the stock market is imploding. A recession is on the horizon. The world stands at the brink of World War III. I mean, this is terrible news. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are MIA, according to the national GOP, Dom, and they quote their Cheeto Messiah, Donald Trump, all caps, "Stock market is crashing. I told you so. Kamala doesn't have a clue. Biden is sound asleep. All caused by inept U.S. leadership."
Yeah, come on.
That's his truthy social post. Even though.
So what exactly did Kamala Harris do to make Donald Trump's media stock fall 6 or 7% today? I'm just like, specifically, what did that happen? Or are there other factors? I'm just curious to know how that works. If someone wants to let me know, all you megas out there with your economy, if you're an economist out there, please let me know. I'd love to hear how Harris made Donald Trump's stock fall.
Here's how the GOP calls it, Dom. "It's a harbinger of what to expect in a Kamala presidency. As Kamala pushes to raise taxes on 91% of Americans and a higher business tax rate than socialist Venezuela, markets will not respond favorably to her radical left lunacy. There's a reason Kamala's website doesn't list a single one of her policy positions. They're far too weak and dangerously liberal for Americans to stomach. President Trump will restore growth and prosperity for all, once again." For all. You know, thank God. We have Trump on the horizon.
NVIDIA, chipmaker NVIDIA, some of the AI stocks slid 6%, leaving it off more than 20% off its recent high weeks ago. Microsoft and Google fell more than 2%. Tesla shed 3.5%.
Well, that's too bad. Looks like a buying opportunity. My 17-year-old just went inspired this morning. He was excited about the turmoil in the marketplace because
you can make money on the volatility. You can literally bet on the volatility, man. You know what I'm saying? You can bet on up and down. You can bet on the volatility. You can make money all the way around if that's what you're into.
But shorting Donald Trump stock at 27, is that still a good bet? Wasn't he as high as 80 once upon a time? The DJT stock.
Yeah, I don't think it was high as 80, but it was like upper 60s, perhaps. Let's see if I can find the year.
You know who like else the highest, is? Go ahead.
Like 70 maybe.
It's at 27 now. Is it still a good bet to crash and burn from 27? I think it is.
In March at 71.93, March 23rd of 2024, and down to 27 right now.
That's less than half. You know whose stock is rising? Tim Walz and Josh Shapiro. Apparently, the vice president has made her choice. We might find out before this show's over. Or maybe not. We don't know. But they've decided, and we can rapidly speculate.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join this political party, 844-967-2789. Stick around. Our very direct friend and attorney, Matt Flynn, is going to join us at 430.
Dom, a quick legal update. Former Trump attorney Jenna Ellis agrees to cooperate in Arizona elector case.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh. In a deal that allows Ellis to avoid potential jail time, she has agreed to provide prosecutors with evidence that could help, what's that called, implicate other defendants.
Uh-oh.
Dateline Phoenix, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays reached a cooperation agreement today with Jenna Ellis, who was a legal advisor to Donald Trump's 2020 campaign and was one of 18 defendants indicted in April on felony charges related to alleged efforts to try and subvert President Biden's victory in the state 4 years ago, according to prosecutors. And the attorney general has agreed to drop nine felonies, that's a lot of felonies, not like a Trump-like number of felonies, but still a lot.
I mean, it's getting up there, though.
Nine felony charges against Ellis in exchange for her full cooperation with the investigation into the GOP plan to deliver Arizona's 11 electoral votes to Trump instead of the rightful winner, Biden. And the deal allows Ellis to avoid potential jail time in exchange for providing prosecutors with evidence that could implicate other defendants. She could provide information about former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani's knowledge and participation in the elector strategy. According to the agreement, Ellis has also agreed to completely and truthfully testify in any future trials. She will also provide documents and any other material tied to the elector strategy that could help state prosecutors secure verdicts favorable to them in the high-profile case. Well, didn't poor Jenna Ellis suffer enough sitting through, what, a Michigan legislative session next to farting Rudy Giuliani, Dom? Didn't she have to suffer through that day? Well, at least she's smart enough. She and Cheesebro apparently smart enough to try and get out in front of their cases, Dom, because, you know, 9 felonies, that would be pretty disruptive if convicted and,
well,
you know,
hell,
sentenced.
A few more, she might be a candidate for the mega Republican Party. You know what I'm saying? Maybe she should have been the vice president because she's catching up to Trump. We know the megas love themselves some felonious activity.
Well, here's what the Attorney General of Arizona said. This agreement represents a significant step forward in our case. I am grateful to Ms. Ellis for her full cooperation with our investigation and prosecution. Her insights are invaluable and will greatly aid the state in proving its case in court. I hope that's true, Dom. An attorney for Ellis did not immediately respond to requests for comment. In Arizona, Dom, was one of 7 states won by Biden where Republican electors gathered on December 14, 2020, to sign certificates purporting to affirm Trump as the actual winner of each of the states. Trump supporters were preparing to cite the paperwork signed by the GOP electors as a way to challenge Biden's win when Congress convened on January 6, 2021, according to the prosecutors. And authorities in several other states, including Arizona, have pursued criminal charges against the electors. They've done so now in the state of Wisconsin against a few of the ringleaders, Jim Troupas, Kenneth Cheesebro, Mike Roman, but not the fake electors, although I wonder why.
They were duped, Crudy. A little bit more here from the Washington Post. All of the defendants in the Arizona case pleaded not guilty, including the 11 Republicans who allegedly falsely purported Trump won the state. Giuliani and Boris Epstein, one of Trump's advisors, they are each charged with 9 felony counts, including conspiracy, forgery, and fraudulent schemes and artifices. The Arizona case was the second round of charges for Ellis and several others in the case who were also indicted alongside Trump in Georgia last year. Now, Ellis pleaded guilty in October to illegally conspiring to overturn Trump's 2020 election loss in Georgia and has been cooperating with prosecutors. Now, in Arizona, Ellis sat down with prosecutors on June 17th for a proffer session. According to the agreement, an interview in which the prosecutor and a defense lawyer meet with a person to decide if they have valuable information to offer an investigation, the kind that could lead to a plea deal. Such meetings often called queen for a day sessions because the person being questioned will not have their answers used against them unless they lie. In the critical time frame after Trump's loss, Ellis was in touch with central figures to the elector strategy outside of Arizona and within, according to the April indictment and other publicly released records. Ellis joined Giuliani, then a personal attorney to Trump, in presenting baseless claims of widespread malfeasance in states Trump lost. And I would say Donald Trump still claims those baseless claims today. He still talks about it. She accompanied Giuliani to Phoenix for a meeting where unfounded claims of election fraud were circulated as Trump dialed in to speak to the crowd. Ellis was also by Giuliani's side during a meeting with then-House Speaker Rusty Bowers, who testified before the House Committee investigating the January 6th attack that Giuliani repeatedly sought to convince him to help overturn Trump's 10,457 vote defeat in the state. "We've got lots of theories. We just don't have the evidence," Bowers recalled Giuliani telling him and others present. So there you go, folks. Ellis turning state's evidence. We'll have the charges dropped against her for her full cooperation in Arizona. Yes, please.
I also understand there's some news out of D.C., Dom, and Chutkin. Now, there are some filing deadlines coming up. The mini trials, the January 6th mini trials, the U.S. Supreme Court, of course, in their immunity ruling, sent it back down to Chutkin at the district court level. Dom, August 9th? Did I read that properly?
Yeah,
like a week from now?
Yeah. Both parties face an August 9th deadline to file a status report to Chuchkin regarding the proposed schedule for pretrial proceedings, and that will happen a week from Friday on the 16th. Yeah, the pretrial schedule. So yeah, we're gonna at least have a schedule by what? A week from Friday. If nothing else, we'll know what the dates are for now.
And possibly during the course of this fine radio program, we'll find out who Kamala Harris has picked for her VP. The latest, it's either Tim Walz or Josh Shapiro. And, you know, late hour, I got to root for Josh Shapiro. Make me right. I've been predicting this for a week or more. Come back with us. Kamala Harris will introduce her new VP in Eau Claire on Wednesday. J.D. Vance will be there to troll in a separate stalky-like event. Hell, he's chasing her all around the country. First in Philadelphia, then on to Wisconsin, then on to Detroit, on to North Carolina. Very creepy. We got
like
find
a lost
guest.
Little puppy with mascara.
We got to find guests coming next. He's Matt Flynn, attorney at law. Very direct man, friend of ours. You're going to want to stick around. More Devil's Advocates.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. We welcome back a good friend, a direct talker, attorney, author, Matt Flynn. Welcome back, Matt. How you doing?
Hey, Matt.
Good to be with you, Critty. Real good to be back with you, you and Dom.
Well, Dom was just saying it's a Kamala crash and everyone should go liquidate their 401ks.
that's not at all what I said, Matt.
Do you agree with his assessment, sir?
Dom says, you know, sell low and buy high. That's what Dom says.
Yeah. He does everything high, Matt. Welcome back,
I'll tell
Matt.
You what, Fidelity, good to be back.
Hi, Ticket.
Good to be back.
The one-day $1,000 loss in the Dow Jones does not have you selling off your 401k, Matt?
Not only does it not, Fidelity did a study, and the investors that did the best over time were ones who had died and people didn't know they had an account because they didn't trade. You see what I'm saying? So, no, I'm not doing a damn thing. I don't even read the newspaper about the stock market. It is goes up, it goes down. It went down 40% in 2008. Then it went up, you know, by threefold in the next decade. Deal with it. And any money you need in the next 5 years, like for tuition, a wedding or something like that, that's got to be in cash. That's got to be in the CD. Other than that, you don't check anything.
Probably prudent advice. The panelists here will never take it. We're all in on bar tabs, yeah. Matt.
Yeah, they're all in on commissions. That's what they are. There are brokers on commissions. No, trade, you know, yeah.
Matt,
we know that game. We know that game very well.
Let's talk about the other big speculative game in town. Who is Kamala Harris going to pick for her VP? We're supposed to know as soon as this afternoon, Matt, maybe this evening. The Democratic Party is supposed to make disclosure. If you had a bet, Matt, who would you be betting on?
Well, it's not a bet. I'm going to tell you who it's going to be, and then you can say that you broke it here. It's going to be Josh Shapiro. That there's already indications through the Kelly campaign. Now, Josh Shapiro or Kelly or Walz or any of these guys would be fine. They'd be very, very good. But Josh Shapiro will ensure that Kamala Harris takes Pennsylvania. She's ahead in Pennsylvania right now by a couple of points, but she's got to take it. It's a Midwestern state. She's got to take Michigan and Wisconsin as well. And Kelly, however, does give her military chops. Gives her astronaut chops, all that, very, very important. But I think Josh Shapiro, you can take that to the bank. Right now, it was just revealed on your show.
Well, Matt Flynn, we had seen earlier reporting that it was down to just two candidates, and Josh Shapiro is one, and Tim Walz, the governor of the state of Minnesota, Matt, I know you've got unique insight because you're a big Biden guy, but let's assume you're just guessing at this point. What would you think about Tim Walz?
I like him. I'd be happy to have him, but he's a beard. He's kind of a show horse here. He is Burgum of North Dakota, but with a better smile and, frankly, a better guy as far as policy. Is Shapiro. When they say, all right, it's down to Walz and Shapiro, because not Kelly, what? The guy had 30 combat missions in Iraq and was an astronaut, and he's not in it. And you're going to have this guy from Minnesota, who's originally from Nebraska. That's all in there as a disguise for Midwest chops. That's all it is. Shapiro is it. You can take that to the bank.
One last question about the VP choice. And you think it's already been made. I actually threw it out there like a week ago. I thought it was going to be Shapiro. But Matt, I thought Shapiro mostly because they were rolling out the VP in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. Do you think the location of the rollout matters one iota in who the actual candidate will be?
It matters one iota in this respect. If it's not Shapiro, but they're rolling it out in his city, that's cold. That's just stone cold. If they were rolling it out in L.A. or something, fine. But I think it's Shapiro. And the reason I think it's a good choice. Any of these guys would be a good choice. But I think it's a good choice because Shapiro settles down a big constituency in the Democratic Party, which includes people like me, people who are older, people who are traditional Democrats, and they like Joe Biden's policies by and large, and they don't want Kamala freelancing in foreign policy. And this is a signal that she will stick tried and true. She'll stick to supporting Ukraine, supporting Israel, supporting the Western alliance. And I think that's all very important.
But Matt, you've seen, I believe Senator Fetterman from Pennsylvania actually put a red flag up about Josh Shapiro. And Fetterman's been pretty pro-Israel, but Shapiro, who obviously is Jewish, he takes some particular qualm with, and I think some of the more liberal wing of the party, and I know you don't always give them the time of day, Matt, but the kids that care about what's happening in Gaza.
I give them the time of day. Look, here's the deal. Fetterman, of all of the senators, I admire him the most. Fetterman has real spine and he says what he wants and all that. The reason that he doesn't, that he's saying, no, it can't be Shapiro is twofold. One of them is that he is being hit hard on the left for some of his positions. And so this way is a way for him to throw him a bone, throw him a few chops. But the second is Shapiro in some things, for instance, like he supported school vouchers. So the teachers union in Pennsylvania was mad at him. Okay, so what? The point is the teachers' union is going to support Kamala, they're not going to support Trump. And Fetterman gets to draw a line so that progressives saying, oh, maybe Fetterman's on our side in this one. It's all symbolic. Fetterman is the best senator in the U.S. Senate. I think he's terrific. And Shapiro's a damn good governor. He's going to be the vice president. They're going to kiss and make up. It'll be great. But you have to understand, there's this complicated dance of the king crabs on the beach. You know, they get up in their hind pincers and they do a dance. Okay. I'm told I was not a biology major, right? Or a zoology major. But the truth of the matter is, this is all a kabuki dance. They come out and they nod and they put on plastic masks and all this. You got to understand what's going on. It's going to be Shapiro, Fetterman, Shapiro, kiss and make up. And they're both trying to assuage their bases.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our pal, Matt Flynn. He's an attorney. He's an author. And he is very direct. Appreciate the time, Matt. I want to get your take on this prisoner swap. President Biden, Kamala Harris, both involved getting some of these American citizens back. Apparently the biggest prisoner swap since the Cold War. And Donald Trump was congratulating Vladimir Putin on, quote, having made yet another great deal. We have 59 hostages. I never paid anything. Boy, we make some horrible, horrible deals. It's nice to say we got them back, but does that set a bad precedent, question mark, according to the former president, Donald Trump? Matt, what are your thoughts on the Biden administration's success in getting home these prisoners and your comments on the former president, Trump?
Trump violates the Logan Act almost every day. He sticks his nose in foreign policy. This guy has interfered with foreign policy the whole time Biden's been in, and Biden's been able to surmount it. The reason that Trump praises Biden, praises Putin, is because Putin has funded him for about 20 years, and he is Putin's girlfriend. Putin has his way with him. Now, when it comes to Biden, this is Biden, pure Biden. This is his foreign policy chops. He gets out Paul Whelan, that Marine. You know, Brittany Griner does a vanity marijuana thing, and they yank her out and leave Whelan to have the crap beaten out of him for years. It was terrible, the former Marine. They get all these other people out, and they give up a murderer who shot a guy in Berlin. As far as I'm concerned, they can send an assassin to kill this guy anyway at some point. We're dealing with animals. Putin is an animal. Putin should be shot himself. And Biden handled this perfectly. Get our guys out. Get this guy from the Wall Street Journal out, Gershkovitz, who, by the way, Putin hates himself, his own ethnicity. Gershkovitz's parents came from Russia. He typically only goes after some of these people who had been Russian. Whelan was an exception. Brittany Griner was an exception. And so what Biden does is he gives up a guy who murdered a guy in Berlin. And we know who he is. If that guy tries to sneak back into this country, he's toast. I think it was a great result. It's all Joe Biden. And of course, Kamala, you know, worked alongside him. And Trump, he's a pig. The guy continues to interfere in our foreign policy, sends divisive signals, encourages Xi of China, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, the clowns, the various sectarian clowns in Iran. And he's hurting our country. He's a traitor to our country. Donald Trump is a traitor to our country.
Well, let me ask you about that. The reporting last week, Matt, that the Egyptian Secret Service essentially emptied out one of their banks to $10 million in cash. And coincidentally, Donald Trump eventually put $10 million into his campaign in the last few weeks or months. Did you see the reporting? And we're past all the statutes of limitations now, Matt, but do you think there's some veracity to this, and what should be done about it, if anything?
Well, yes, there is veracity to it. You know, Menendez is going to go to prison for being bribed by the Egyptians. They have a Jones about bribing people, apparently. So you say the statute of limitations is expired. Let me tell you something about prosecutions. There's one statute of limitations that can never expire, and that's not what this one is. That's murder. That never expires. But when you commit treason like that, there are many, many little tails that you leave, and they are within the 5 or 6 year statute. For instance, did Trump afterwards do anything to favor Egypt while he was president? If he did,
yes.
Even if it is something, yeah.
No, to no, the no, tune of $1.4 billion in military aid, Matt.
Right. Okay, then you know what you do is, if I'm a prosecutor, if Garland had a spine, which he doesn't do, I would indict Trump for taking a bribe. You go, oh no, the statute of limitations 10 years ago. You may have gotten the money 10 years ago, but you did the payoff while you were president. That's what I would do. Everybody is tiptoeing around the statute of limitations. Aggressive prosecutor knows what to do. If Garland had a spine, first of all, he would have appointed Jack Smith 3 years ago. Second of all, they wouldn't have filed a goddamn case in Mar-a-Lago in front of Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the she-wolf from Colombia. And they go after these people. And they've been very lackluster, very, very slow to go after them. But why should Trump get away with something? Menendez, he didn't take 10 million. He took a couple of gold bars and a Mercedes. And he's going to go to prison. Why shouldn't Trump go to prison?
Matt Flynn, always appreciate your directness, sir. Chutkin, the January 6th, and this is what I want history to remember about Donald Trump. And obviously, with the immunity case that got sent down from the U.S. Supreme Court, and apparently they got to go try public acts and private acts. But my understanding is there's a briefing schedule that's been laid out by Judge Chutkin, and we might have a mini trial. Matt, will we, the American people, ever see the evidence of what really happened on January 6th? And do you think this Chutkin mini trial might be the venue, sir?
That may be the venue, but I'll tell you, the best way we're going to get it all aired out is if Kamala Harris is elected president. Because I got to tell you something. If Donald Trump is elected president, he'll put another Bill Barr type of guy in there cool, dismiss the whole thing, and you'll never learn anything.
Well, it won't be Jeffrey Clark. He's been disbarred.
Well, Jeffrey Clark, that wouldn't bother Trump. It might bother the Senate. But the point of the matter, no, he'll pick another clown. You know, lying, sneaky William Barr. There's a lot of sneaky, lying William Barrs around. And they will just tell the U.S. attorney and the Justice Department, close it down. He closed down the Egyptian bribe. Barr closed down the Egyptian bribe investigation. They investigated it 10 years ago within the statute of limitations. He closed it down.
Yeah, bothers me too, Matt Flynn. Always great to talk to you.
Well, good.
We'll see if you're right about the Shapiro thing. But I would also count myself right. I also made that bet.
Take it to the bank.
Well, if you say it, I'm twice as confident.
Yeah, now that Matt says it.
Matt, always great to talk to you, my friend. Yeah. We'll catch up soon.
Good to talk to you guys.
Folks,
no, thanks, man.
We are the Devil's Advocates. You got your opinion on the vice presidential pick. Could know as soon as today. So the rapid speculation. It gears up right now at 844-967-2789.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the show. Call us on the lines, talk or text. You can hit us up 844-967-2789.
Thank you to our friend, author, attorney, direct man, very direct man, Matt Flynn. Thank you, Matt. One more headline, and then we'll get to the phone. It's at 844-967-2789. Your buddy, Justice Clarence Thomas, Dom, failed to disclose private flights in 2010. And these were just little puddle hoppers. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas failed to publicly disclose additional travel provided by GOP mega donor Harlan Crow, a top Democratic senator, said Monday, adding to the mounting scrutiny of the high court over its ethical practices, especially you, Clarence. In a Monday letter to Crow's lawyer, Senate's Finance Committee Chair Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon, said the committee's review of the international flight records from Customs and Border Protection found Thomas, and wait for it, and his wife Virginia, traveled on a round-trip flight from Hawaii to New Zealand in November of 2010. Hawaii to New Zealand. I can't imagine how long that would be on commercial or how expensive it might be, Dom. But here's the statement. To date, Justice Thomas has never disclosed this private jet travel or any financial disclosure forms, even though Justice Thomas has admitted disclosures to reflect other international travel on Mr. Crow's private jet. Again, Senator Wyden wrote, justices are required to file financial disclosure forms each year that include any external sources of incomes or gifts. Thomas's latest financial disclosure included an amendment to a filing made a half a decade ago to include two trips paid for by Crow, but did not address the November 2010 round trip flights, Wyden said. Pardon me, Dom, the flights are the latest instance of Thomas failing to disclose trips paid for by Crow. It comes less than 2 months after the Senate Judiciary Committee found Thomas did not disclose an additional three trips he took on private jets funded by Crow in 17, 19, and 2021. Wyden said he was deeply concerned. Crow was giving Thomas, a public official, extravagant gifts in order to write them off to lower his tax base.
Yeah, baby. I mean, two birds, one stone. I gotta appreciate that.
Now, a spokesperson for Crow said the mega donor has already addressed Senator Wyden's inquiries, which have no legal basis and are only intended to harass a private citizen. Yeah. Well, maybe if your boy Clarence Thomas ever made disclosure of the grandiose gifts you gave him, you wouldn't get pulled into this, sir. A little bit more. Congress has no role in tax enforcement. Mr. Crow and his businesses are in good standing with the IRS. He has always followed the applicable tax laws advised by national accounting firms who serve as his tax advisors. It's concerning that Senator Wyden is abusing his committee's power as part of a politically motivated campaign against the Supreme Court. Then why doesn't Clarence Thomas ever make any disclosure? Then you wouldn't have any of these issues, because apparently the grandiose gifts are allowable, Dom. You just got to tell us on your financial disclosures. Now, Thomas.
Well, on Thomas's side, but what about Crow's side? I mean, is he obligated in any way to say that when he brings a guy like Thomas on, or a politician perhaps, that this is some sort of gift? Is he claiming that in any way, shape, or form? If he's just going there and he's got a hitchhiker at no cost, I guess. But who's responsible? And is he claiming any of this as some sort of tax or business write-off? I mean, I don't know that. It'd be a question I think is worthy of asking.
Well, Dominic, I believe, and I'm not a tax accountant, I have a hell of a time even keeping one, but I believe the cap on gifting each year, it's like $16,000, $17,000. You can double it up for a couple, but $32,000. We understand a prior trip that Harlan Crow paid for the Thomases, which he did not disclose, was closer to $500,000. A singular trip. We found out about another one on top of the other three, on top of the multitude of other trips.
So, it's something we may not even know about. Married couples is the $36,000 cap for married couples.
It's like 32 or 34, but yes, it's
36 right now. 2024 gift, 18,000 per, up from 17 for married, is 36,000. So then anything above and beyond that, then it's up to Thomas to claim as what, income?
Well, that would be income to Thomas. And that could, in fact, cause a taxable circumstance for Harlan Crow as well. You cannot give gifts in excess of the federal threshold without creating taxable circumstance. And private airline travel, even though what Thomas wants to claim it's, what was his word? I don't want to misconstrue this. According to The Hill, Thomas, 76, has maintained in the past he's not required to disclose the various trips because they're considered personal hospitality from a close friend without business before the court. Except, how would we know if you never disclosed them, even if they, let's say, did have business before the court? Because we would be completely unaware that you've accepted the grandiose gifts, some probably creating taxable circumstances. Gifts greater than $34,000 for a couple, Dom. Let's say $500,000 worth of travel on a single super yacht trip.
Woo.
I bet you travel from Hawaii to New Zealand, that individual plane ride, probably more than $32,000.
$500,000 was the one particular trip. You back out the 30-some thousand, you know, call it $400,000. If you're paying 20% tax rate, well, shouldn't Clarence Thomas have paid at least $80,000?
Haven't they ever heard of the Wisconsin Dells? I mean, I know you're not a big fan of the pee parks, Tom.
The pee pools.
I mean, at least he'd stay below the statutory thresholds of having to disclose. He wouldn't come off as so freaking corrupt. Folks, we're the devil's advocates. We'll take your calls. I promise. A happier happy hour is next.